Time now for the word of exhortation. It's my pleasure to ask Brother Andy to speak to us, please.
Good morning, everyone, again. So we've just read about the transfiguration. Imagine being one of those disciples. You've been going around with your friend for a number of years. He's taught you huge amounts about God, the Bible, taught you about yourself. You've grown to trust him and love him. And then recently he's changed his tack, and he started telling you some things that are going to happen. He started telling you about he's going to die, and he's explained to you how he is the Messiah and is the Son of God. You believe him because you trust him. You believe him because you love him. But those most recent things have really scared you. How could you die? You're the Son of God. You've done all these miraculous things, and God is so obviously with you. But you're happy, and you just believe because he's your trusted friend. Then you go up onto this mountainside, and suddenly you see this transfiguration. You see him glowing as bright as the sun. And suddenly, wow, this is absolute confirmation that Jesus is the Son of God. So the immediate reactions, we've got a bit of variation here. We've got collapsing and saying, wow, what's happening here? My mind can't compute this. I'm scared. So often, if we don't understand something, we're afraid of it. So that's the sort of a human reaction. Then we get Peter, in his typical way, missing the point somewhat and offering to build a few tents, and obviously being told that that's not the way. But ultimately, what they all recognised was that this was a good place to be. This was amazing, a life-changing experience, and one that would live with them. They couldn't stay there, though. They had to go back to reality. Had to go back down into the valley. And suddenly, it's all back to square one for them in many ways. You've got the demon-possessed boy who the disciples couldn't heal, and they're going, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus is saying, you didn't have enough faith. Necessarily the ones who were up on the mountainside had this problem. We're not told who the disciples were who couldn't heal him, but ultimately they hit reality again. And we all do this after we've had one of these mountaintop experiences, as it were. And this goes on. This mountaintop experience may have helped them over the coming weeks, but it certainly didn't helped them to the point where they didn't make mistakes. These same three people who went up onto the mountainside with him were also in the garden at Jesus' darkest hour, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. They all went to sleep, of course, as good friends do. Their faith and their fear, that their faith couldn't carry them through that little bit. When Jesus was captured, all the disciples fled and disappeared. Peter denied that he knew Jesus, yet he had seen Jesus glowing as bright as the sun a few weeks earlier. I'm not sure how many weeks earlier. But throughout these dark times, Peter, James and John must have kept that in, and it will have helped them through the difficulties. William Barclay commented once, "The moment of glory does not exist for its own sake. It exists to clothe the common things with radiance they never had before." So that good time at the Transfiguration wasn't just something cool happening. It was for a purpose, to help them over those coming weeks. Peter, James, John, and also Jesus. Jesus needed that. He was human. He will have been afraid, and that will have helped strengthen his faith to know that he was doing the right thing and going the right way. We do all, hopefully, have these experiences in our lives where we are closer to God and we do think, wow, this is amazing. It can come in different forms for all of us. How would we have reacted at the Transfiguration? Would we have done the same as then? Do we think we'd have done better than them in the time of the difficulties over those coming weeks? We have to put ourselves in their shoes. The disciples, as I say, weren't allowed to stay on top of that mountain. Although that was a great experience for them, they had to get back to the reality of fulfilling God's purpose with Jesus. How do we act when we have these mountaintop experiences? How do we rely on these moments to keep our faith going? Do we even recognise when we've had these mountaintop experiences that we are on a spiritual high and we can build from that? We're often heard at places like Hoddesdon or other Christian gatherings, people describing it as like a battery recharge, or at the end of the weekend, oh, it's been wonderful to be here, don't want to go back home. And if you've had a particularly good weekend, if it's not a Christian gathering even, if you've just had a good holiday and you've had a really good battery recharge and perhaps you do feel closer to God, that slump as you go back to work on the Monday morning. Maybe we get these boosts on Sundays that help us through the coming week. However, Sundays aren't perfect, are they? Each week we have somebody different. I'm quite thankful we have different people each week, because some weeks most certainly aren't for me. Yet those weeks that aren't for me are most certainly for somebody else, and this balance forms. But how do we feel when we've had a couple of Sundays that really didn't engage us for whatever reason? Maybe we've got nothing planned with holidays. We're on a bit of a slump. Maybe it's the winter months and got nothing coming up. A few Sundays and we're feeling quite spiritually empty. How can we carry ourselves through that? Is there a way of being self-sufficient on faith? Now, when I wrote self-sufficient down, I thought there'll be a sharp intake of breath from somebody there. But actually, being self-sufficient on faith is something we need to try and do. Self-sufficient to accept that God's there for us, and being able to do things on our own that help us to become closer to God. God's always there to help us, but there is a sort of element of me having to make the first move. Maybe we can do meditation. I've never been that good at meditation. I struggle. I lose concentration. I know other people find that really helpful. I quite like going for walks on cliff edges and mountains and lakes. And that helps me. And sometimes I can get a spark from that, and it helps carry me. Jesus, throughout his ministry, he often went off to a quiet place to pray. Jesus knew what his own needs were. He knew what he needed to keep his faith in God. He'd go to a quiet place, go up onto a mountainside. Jesus was often to be found somewhere else, because he needed to be with God strengthening his faith and giving him those high moments to take him through the difficulties. And so many difficulties he had. The disciples arguing amongst themselves, saying, "Oh, I'm better than he is, and who's going to be first?" He's got the Pharisees always trying to cut him down and make him feel worthless. He's got people questioning his background. And all of these would have affected Jesus. So he had to keep going back to God, had to keep going to these mountaintop places to be close to God and get this strength. When Jesus got his disciples to see the transfiguration, how did he ask them? Did he say, "Hey guys, come with me, I've got something really cool to show you"? Actually, no, he didn't. He said, from Luke, "Can you come and pray with me?" He didn't say anything about what was going to happen. They went with him to pray, and then this happened. They weren't expecting it. Sometimes our spiritual highs can happen when we're not expecting them. Just the prayer resulted in the transfiguration. We don't know what they were praying about. As I said earlier, sometimes the answer to prayer can be quite unexpected. They prayed for strength and they got overwhelmed by this transfiguration. Maybe they prayed for something else, we don't know. But how can we look for the answers to our prayers? If we look at Romans 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And God does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." You see, at just the right time, when we're still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. So, throughout all of our lives, we've got this background of peace and joy, and the knowledge that Jesus is just there for us, that God is just there for us, and how to tap into that and to be confident in what is there for us. The foundation of our faith can be tricky. I've talked about this a few times. What is the foundation of our faith? Is it our church? Is it the hymns we sing? Is it the beliefs we have within our faith? Or is it Jesus? If we have Jesus as the foundation of our faith, a lot of the other issues that are associated around that are less likely to derail us in our travels, in our journey towards the kingdom. Jesus, and throughout the New Testament, calls us to persevere in faith. We need to have our own answers as to how we can do that. Hebrews 10. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This passage gives a few things that sort of echo from what my thoughts have been. So we've got this wonderful hope, and we keep remembering that how we've been cleaned by what Jesus has done for us, and remembering how important it is for us to cling on to this faith, whether it's holding it close to us or at some point holding on to this faith by the tips of your fingernails when things are really going bad. But that last bit, let's not give up meeting together. I love that, because whatever happens when we meet together, maybe the Sunday morning isn't for us, maybe it doesn't engage us in quite the way we're hoping, but we are still meeting together. And the next bit, meeting together and encouraging one another. That's what we need to be doing as Christians. That's how we can help each other to be on our spiritual highs. Maybe the Sunday morning isn't about something that engages us, but maybe there's a conversation we can have afterwards. Maybe we come in on a real low, but there'll be somebody there for us afterwards. Likewise, we can be there for other people. Often we'll need the support of others, and often we need the support of those around us. Even sometimes needing the support of those around us actually strengthens those around us, because they are able to gain strength from helping people, from seeing a need and feeling that they've helped. That can also be beneficial. So even needing help isn't just a taking thing. You're giving somebody a purpose. Sometimes we'll have a mountainside moment that really isn't for everybody else. We can say, oh, wasn't that an amazing talk this morning? You were on a real high and a buzz. And that person is like, maybe you went to a different talk to me. And what has caused us to be on a high, maybe our focus has gone to something and we've run with it, and it can be amazing. I really like going to the top of mountains. I know some people don't really like that. They can't think of anything worse to do with their day. So you drag this poor friend and saying, right, I'll pick you up, I'll take you up this high mountain. And, have you finished yet? Are we nearly there yet? I often get that with my children, actually. Highlighting that you're on a spiritual high after something can often make somebody feel quite lonely and down. I remember once returning from a weekend in the car of the person who'd been speaking. It was when I was a teenager, and there was discussion about how wonderful the talks were from other people in the car, and I'm thinking, no, and feeling quite lonely and low spiritually because of it. Jesus recognised this at the Transfiguration. He knew that these three disciples were on a bit of a high. They were quite excited about this, and probably they were itching to tell everybody. But Jesus knew that if he did that, it's going to create some real nasty conversations. Why did those three get to see you doing that? Why didn't we do it? Are they better than us? And the three saying, yeah, we are, because we got to see that. Can you imagine the conversations that have been? So Jesus, knowing this, said, keep this to yourselves. Talk about this later when you're sharing all the stories, but over the next few weeks, this is your mountaintop moment. Don't go spreading it, because it's only going to cause problems. I quite like that side of it, that actually Jesus is recognising that, and we all understand that somebody who's on a spiritual high can actually make us feel even worse. Spiritual highs and mountaintop moments are unlikely to be contagious by talking about them. We can say, oh, I've had an amazing experience. People will go, oh, that's wonderful. But maybe they won't be feeling that. And just sort of being aware of how people are and how we can interact with people. So today we've got another opportunity to remember Jesus. We share the bread and wine together. Maybe this week has been a good week for you. Maybe it's been a bad week. Maybe you've had problems. Maybe things have been good. Maybe something that's happened or been said today has really sparked you. Maybe it hasn't. And maybe you can't wait for me to sit down. But the key thing is, we are all here. We are all here to remember Jesus. We're a family. We're sitting together, we're eating together, we're talking together, we're sharing our hopes together, we're sharing our fears together. This is what families are. And these are the spiritual highs that we can have, and we can encourage one another to have. We talked earlier about suffering and being an opportunity to show love. By showing love to one another, even at the darkest times, we can have a spiritual high. Jesus knew that his death was approaching, yet he was still a man of joy and was happy, and I believe a smiley person who attracted people to him because of the joy that he had. And this will have been achieved from understanding how to maintain faith from spiritual high to spiritual high. So as we share this bread and this wine together, let's remember how we all share our spiritual highs and our spiritual lows with one another, and think about how we can help people who are maybe in the valleys, how we can help people who are coming down from a mountaintop, and how we can all help each other to find the places and the situations where we can all have these spiritual boosts that keep us going through the darker times in life.